Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. Let me see here. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday and this is July 29th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Letty G., The 12 Traditions, Rhonda R., and the readers of the text are Lisa N., Alex K., and Janice P. M. And today we are reading, again, from the Big Book. We are on page 35 in the chapter More About Alcoholism. The second paragraph down, our first example, is a friend. And we're reading through that one paragraph ending with, he came into contact with us. And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. The share ID for yesterday's Sunday special edition, July 28th, is 21,609. That's 21609. And for Monday, July 29th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,610. That's 21610. And our newcomer greeter is Yvonne A., and our announcements person is Betsy H., and I really thank you all for your service this month. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting to our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. I'm Letty G., and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this month, and I just want to wish everybody a beautiful Monday. And I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Letty G., for your service. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Rhonda R., grateful member in Memphis, Tennessee. The 12 traditions. 1, Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service in July.
Well, thank you very much, Rhonda R., for your service this month. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 35 in the chapter More About Alcoholism, the second paragraph down. Our first example is a friend. We're reading through that one paragraph only, and it ends with, he came into contact with us. And I will now ask Lisa N. to get us started. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks so much for taking the meeting today. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lisa N. from Wisconsin, and I'm gratefully recovered one day at a time by God's grace and mercy. Our first example is a friend we shall call Jim. This man has a charming wife and family. He inherited a lucrative, automobile agency. He had a commendable World War record. He is a good salesman. Everybody likes him. He is an intelligent man, normal so far as we can see, except for a nervous disposition. He did no drinking until he was 35. In a few years, he became so violent when intoxicated that he had to be committed. On leaving the asylum, into contact with us. And though I am not male, I can so relate to this man. Poor Jim. I mean, for all purposes, he seems like this normal man, except for this nervous disposition. And you know, I didn't know I was nervous because I just ate. Before I came into this program, that was my medication. I was self-medicating with food. And other things as well. I have the alcoholic brain. I'm not for alcohol, but other things. And I have a wonderful husband, but I didn't know it at the time. I had wonderful, healthy children, but I didn't recognize it. I had kind in-laws. I had a lovely community to live in and a home and a good sister. I had all kinds of blessings. And from the outside, I was, except for my weight, people thought I was attractive. I had talents that I used up on a stage. My life was just, it was really good to most on the from the outside, if you were looking at me. But what they didn't know is that I was never grateful for those things. And so I suffered because I was constantly looking at what I didn't have. And I was focused on what my husband wasn't doing. I was constantly pointing my finger at my kids, if they would behave, if my mother treated me better. I never saw the blessings. I never saw what other people saw. And the other thing that happened to me is that I heard my own voice say, maybe it would be better if I wasn't alive. And nobody heard me talk like that, so nobody knew I was suffering. And I understand now that I was hiding from everybody. And this program says, don't hide. It says, call people. It says, reach out. Listen to meetings. Listen for wisdom from other people. And if you're new, don't give up. Don't ever give up if you're even here for 30 years. We have to stay together and help each other because we are the ones who understand this. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you very much. All right, here we go. Although we, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 35. The second paragraph down, it begins with, our first example is a friend we shall call. And it ends with, I changed my page here, is he came into contact with us. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who of those on the line would like to share who haven't shared in the last 2 to 3
Robin
days?
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Sherry M.
Sherry M. Thank you for your clarity.
Kristen Y.
Kristen Y. Anyone else want to get in this first lineup? I have Robin P., Deborah G., Sherry M., Kristen Y. Okay. Everyone else mute your phone except Robin P. Good morning, Robin. Oops.
Sorry, I just remuted myself. Hi, I'm Robin.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And thanks so much for your service, Mo, and everyone who makes this meeting possible. You know, I identify with what was said and, you know, being good at different things, being intelligent, normal, except for, you know, a nervous disposition. And, you know, when I used food and it just got worse and worse, I just became so hopeless and I wanted to die. And I became so isolated and literally just, it was just me and the food in the apartment in New York City. And it was just so lonely. I was desperately lonely. And, you know, I tried treatment and it just took what it took. I just, that when I work with people, I always say, you know, are you desperate to go enough to go to any length? You know, have you hit bottom? Just pray to hit bottom if you don't feel like you're desperate enough to go to any length. And because it took what it took. And I would think, that's my bottom. Oh, that's got to be my bottom. Oh, that's, and, you know, 8.5 years ago, by God's grace, it was my bottom, thank God, one day at a time. And, you know, and then I could get busy and work the steps and live in recovery today, and stay in contact with all of you. You know, upon leaving the asylum, he came into contact, and then one day at a time, I get to stay in contact. And, you know, I just am so grateful for the steps. I'm so grateful for my sponsor. I went through something here in our little town in Costa Rica where we are, and I'm about to travel again. My dad passed away, and suddenly, and we're going to go be with my stepmom, and then we're going to go back and be part of the memorial service. And so we'll be traveling, and then I think we're going to stay in the States for a while. And so, you know, there's a lot going on. We have these two dogs, and sometimes I just get so much fear about what to do with the dogs and how to fly with them, and because we've had some challenges flying, and ended up having to take a private jet back from the States because it was really challenging. So we're not going to do that again. And so there's just, and every time I have the fear, and the fear seems overwhelming at times. You know, I look at them and think, oh my gosh, and we've been trying to get them adopted, and I just get to keep surrendering and working the program and doing my 10, 11, and 12. I have a solution today. So when anxiety comes up or nervous disposition, like he talks about in this chapter, I get to get busy and work my program. And, you know, this morning I had some very anxious moments, and I did a 10-step by God's grace, talked to my sponsor, and I've been having a wonderful morning. And if you asked me at 4 this morning when I couldn't sleep, I would have told you I was not having a wonderful morning. So it really works. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day, and I pass. Thanks again, Mo.
Thank you very much, Robin. E from Costa Rica. Next is Deborah G from Arizona. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and thank you all for your service this morning, and those that have shared, thank you for 12-stepping me, and so grateful I can do this together with everyone. I don't have to do this alone. And, I could relate to the nervous disposition because I was in constant anxiety all the time. I was reacting. I was easily irritated. Couldn't sleep, just all the time. And I lived like that. I thought that I didn't know what it was. And I thought, well, that's just what it was, and try to cope with living life like that. And then when I got help with my food, got into doing the work, the steps, and going to meetings, getting a sponsor and all that. Oh, and welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here, because I felt like a newcomer, even though I'd been in OAs, different programs for years and years. I still felt like a newcomer because I really wasn't willing and aware and honest and all that. And, you know, when I started living this way of life, the anxiety lifted. And I learned why I had so much anxiety was because of all the sugar and all the flour and all the alcoholic foods I was putting in my body. And it was affecting my brain. And I didn't see that. And when it lifted, I could breathe. And I could just be in the moment and be with life, experiencing life. It's like, wow, I can't even put into words the relief that I felt when that was finally gone. And when it does crop up again, you know, fear and anxiousness, anxiety, like I heard just recently, that I can do it, the work. I can do something about it today. I don't have to live like that. And it really disconnects me from my higher power, God, disconnects me from all of you, and it disconnects me from myself, all of that. So there's so much freedom, and I love it. I'm so grateful, excuse me, that there's a solution, and I don't have to live like that anymore. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Deborah G. from Arizona. Up next is Sherry M., followed by Kristen Y., and after Kristen, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. This is Sherry M., and I'm gratefully recovered today in Wyoming, and I am a compulsive overeater, a real compulsive overeater, and I love this story. You know, I remember reading these stories about Jim and Fred and Jay Walker, and I didn't identify, but today I identify so much more than I ever did. And I just love the way that they're proposing this. You know, like, here's Sherry. You know, I just put it into, like, the first person. Like, here's our friend Sherry, and here's her story. Her story is that, you know, she was abused as a child and had really traumatic things happen to her, and she learned to disassociate, right? So I learned before food to numb that I could actually disassociate from body and mind, and that was the way that I survived. And then I found food, and then that was like really cool for me when I found that at 7, and I knew that'd be my solution. And of course, yeah, take that away, of course I'm going to have a nervous disposition. Why wouldn't I? There wasn't anybody in my family that I could trust, and everybody was out to harm me. So, yeah, when you come from that kind of background, it's not a bad thing to be full of anxiousness, but I find that I have had a maybe more difficult time than maybe others in terms of just identifying it, you know? So I love having a 10-step partner, and I love trying to get on top of my emotions, but there's often times where I am still so delayed. You know, something will happen, and I just immediately learned how to process it as a child. I still can do that as an adult where it doesn't affect me type of thing and put the shield up. And then 3 days later, I'm wondering, like, why do I feel so depressed, you know? So this is a work in progress. And I just want to say to, you know, people out there that there is hope. You know, I can tell you that when I found a vision for you, I found a solution. The only solution for me that could work is the 12 steps and having this connection with my higher power in a way that I never had with the previous 17 years of only being in AA and Al-Anon. And then I found that there was a different way to work the steps. And it hasn't been a straight, you know, arrow for me. It's been up and down, up and down. And it's all part of my path, I should say. And I don't feel shame about it at all. You know, food is not the problem. I have a spiritual malady. I have a hole inside of me. And this is a broad spectrum disease. So just because we're not doing it like somebody else possibly doesn't mean that we're not actually in recovery or recovered. You know, am I free and neutral? Do I care about food? Do I have a connection with my higher power? These are things I never could have had without finding a vision for you in 2018. And I am so beyond grateful because I have a way of life that works. You know, it's weight, you know, having the weight be off and maintained for many years is not the solution either. It's really about the connection. So I'm always seeking to connect deeper and further. But yeah, you know, it's okay. It doesn't mean I'm a bad person if I have anxiety today. It just means that my path, it might be different than somebody else's, and we all are unique fellows, and that's why I love hearing everybody's story. And if you haven't listened to yesterday's special edition, it was amazing. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry M. And before I take Kristen, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 35 in the chapter More About Alcoholism, second paragraph down. Our first example is a friend, and it ends with, he came into contact with us. After Kristen, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for doing service. I'm Kristen. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery. I'm abstinent since July 1st, and it's the longest time I've ever been abstinent, and I just first started this program a few months ago, and it took me a minute to get a sponsor, and I met with her and did my first step, and it was just the most spiritual, amazing thing, the way she took me through the first step. I loved it so much, and I was taking rapid notes, you know, and on an envelope because I left out of my job to meet with her. And then I didn't get, she had said that she, you know, talks to her, she sends her food to her sponsor, but she was also saying that she doesn't talk about food. So I guess I got confused because I thought, oh, I wish we could do that. I wish I could send my food anyway. And I also did my, you know, kind of fear of authority figures or, you know, perfectionism thing. And I thought, oh, I have to finish everything she's asked me to do before we talk again. And it was the opposite. She wanted to talk every day, but I wasn't clear on that. And then when we did talk, she didn't believe me that it had only been 6 days. She said, no, it's been 3 weeks. And you know, I started to feel a lot of shame, like I felt in my childhood, and I think why I ate. And I don't want to be a victim. I know that I blew it, and I super appreciate her, but it feels bad, you know. And so I am going to get another sponsor, and I just need to, you know, love myself and keep on with my higher power and know that it wasn't the right fit. And yeah, I'm, you know, to not have the accelerant of flour or sugar, it's just miraculous to me that I'm not thinking about food is blowing my mind. It is the best gift that I've ever gotten. It really is. I mean, I was just, my mom's like, well, why? I'm like, well, I think because I'm an addict, Mom. And she said, well, you did like to nurse all the time. So I think it was just from a very young age. Anyway, I'm so happy to be here, and I'm now looking for another sponsor. Thank you so much.
Where are you calling from, Kristen?
Oh, I'm in Mendocino County of California.
California. All right. That's Pacific time. Thank you very much for your share. So I'm going to take another lineup of names, and although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we are on page 35. Second paragraph down, our first example is a friend we shall call, and it ends with, he came into contact with us. Who would like to share on that one paragraph? Oops. Hello? Anybody like to share?
Sherry F.
Sherry F. Thank you.
Vanita C.
Vanita Early. C.
Yeah.
I heard Vanita C. I heard somebody way in the background.
Arlene B.
Arlene B.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Dana P.
Dana P. So I have Sherry F, Anita C, Arlene B, Dana P. Anyone else? Okay. Let's everyone mute their line except Sherry F. Good morning, Sherry. Let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Sherry F. from from Idaho. Just calling this morning to just state how wonderful the program is. I have been absent almost 6 months, and the absence of sugar has made it completely possible for me to see. I don't know, just to see life a little bit better. I don't have the... I was thinking that last night when I went to bed. I thought, wow, life has brought me plenty of things to think about other than food. and I knew this before, but food was such a distraction. Exercise and food became such a way of escape for me from what I really needed to be paying attention to. About a week ago, I was in prayer in the morning, and I truly just broke down in tears to God in thanks that that had been taken away from me. I do believe I had a good relationship with God before this, but it has my relationship with God and with other people has improved so much. And I know the tools work. I love this program. So thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Terry F. Vanetta G. Is it Vanetta or Vanessa? Oh, it's Vanetta. Okay, good morning, Vanetta C.
Hi, this is Vanetta C. from Anchorage, Alaska. Good to hear everybody this morning. I was just reading this paragraph over, and it's like I can so relate to the way I felt when I was in the sugar, especially, and in the food, how I was so irritable and discontent. And, you know, when it talks about becoming violent, I had this, I was full of self-loathing, and I hated myself so much. I was crabby to everybody. And I have a lot of regrets about that. And of course, working the steps, I've realized, you know, where that all comes from and everything. And you know, I really struggle with staying abstinent. I was abstinent off sugar for like a year and a half, and then slowly, you know, went on a vacation, and I had, you know, some sugar, and then I've forgotten how it takes over my mind and changes my chemistry in my mind and makes me do things that I really don't want to do, and I don't feel good about it. And anyway, I just, I'm really grateful that I got this program. I listen to it every day. I don't really share that often, but, you know, I'm just grateful that there is a program such as this one, and that I have people I can talk to and, you know, get back on track. Anyway, that's all I got. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you very much, Vanetta. Vanetta C. from Alaska.
Vanetta.
Anchorage, Alaska. Vanetta, thank you. Vanetta,
yeah.
C. All right, up next is Arlene B., followed by Dana P. Good morning, Arlene.
Hi, Arlene B. from Los Angeles, California. Grateful that I'm at this meeting. So I listened to the paragraph read, and, you know, I started this program probably 40 years ago, and I have been one of those people who have not had it's not been a straight shoot for me. It's been on and off with abstinence, and I'm very grateful that I found the program because I didn't understand what was going on with me. I'm very grateful that yesterday I had a day of abstinence, and I was at the point where I thought I didn't want to come to meetings, and you know, I had service at a couple of meetings, and that brought me back to the meeting. But I just knew that, you know, it's the big book, and it's the meetings, and it's the outreach calls that would help lead me back. And, you know, in that paragraph, it talks about how, you know, at a certain age, he started drinking and how it kind of drove him crazy. And I started doing it at a young age, and it drove me crazy on and off, and it has been a thread throughout my life. I've always wanted to go through the big book the way that you do it here, and I haven't been successful in finding somebody to help me with that. I do have a sponsor, but I know it's going through the big book that may also help me in a different way. So I just wanted to check in. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be willing to be on the meeting. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Arlene B. from California. And now, before we take Dana, I'm going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 35, the second paragraph down. It begins with, lost my page here. Our first example is a friend we shall call. And it ends on the top of the next page, until he came into contact with us. And after Dana, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning, Mo. So great to hear you on the line here. I'm Dana P., recovered from compulsive eating and vomit bulimia. This paragraph, you know, it's funny. When I first read the book, our big book, of Alcoholics Anonymous. Really, the only story I believe that I could really relate to was the jaywalker that comes later. And it was because I was such an adrenaline junkie, you know, running in traffic, literally. And if that car clipped me on the ass, that was even more exciting. You know, the closer it got, the more exciting it was. But as I got more into the book, into the program, and working the steps, and connected with all of you who truly, you know, even those that I don't know, you know, you're my friends. We're talking about this guy, and seriously, a friend we'll call Jim, right? And that speaks to some anonymity there. We'll call him Jim, but we don't even know if that was his real name. But, you know, how I can really relate with Jim is that I realized when I was 17 and I went on this crazy diet, I mean, it did something to my brain. It really messed me up, the starvation, and drove me into, if you will, the stuffing myself with food and then fear around that, and the purging, which resulted in the what it was that I was so anxious about. And that's the part that I can really relate to Jim, is that I had a beautiful life, so much going for me, but I was so anxious about living life. And it's so funny that this is what really helped me, saved me, if you will, to cope with the fears of life. And when I went through my steps the first time, and the fourth step, and the fears, that became the greatest asset, was becoming familiar with that part of me that feared just living life. And now I live life to the fullest, more and more beautiful things, taking a trip, getting ready to retire from a job that I absolutely love, wonderful people, just really grateful to be a part of recovery. And ultimately, what it all boils down to is relationships, and it talks about that. You know, this friend we'll call Jim, you know, we have a relationship with this guy, and I have relationships with people now. And ultimately, I'll tell you, my relationship with the God of my understanding is where all of that started. So do the work, my apologies, and I'll pass with that. Have a great day.
Thank you very much. Dana P. from California, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? We still have time for some more shares.
This is Laura M.
Whoops. I heard too many people together.
Annabelle Z.
I got that, Anna.
Laura M.
Laura, did you say Laura?
Yes, Laura M.
Okay. Got you, Laura.
Joni Y.
Joni Y.
Thank you.
Might be able to squeeze one more in there.
Hi, this is Joe G.
I heard Joe. I'm sorry about the other person. Come back tomorrow. All right, let's stop there. I have Annabelle Z, Laura M, Joni Y, and Joe G. All right. Everybody silence their phones except Annabelle. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning, Mo. I'm Annabelle, compulsive overeater in Washington State. And this story was always the one that I related to in OA the most, but only in the next pages, where he goes and he can't figure out how he put the, I think he's the whiskey and the milk guy. But This paragraph about his nervous disposition, and just that really has become more important to me as far as relating, because I don't realize that I never realized I had a nervous disposition. I was just angry all the time. And because I didn't eat, I forced myself not to eat sugar. I was just always on a diet, and I was always restricting, and I was always compulsively exercising, and I was always judging you for not doing so. Pardon me. And what I found in recently, real difficulty getting abstinent again after having some medical issues, is that I've become not nervous again because of medicating with sugar and not sugar so much actually, but just a lot of food that I don't normally eat, or just the volumes that I don't normally eat. And so I've satiated that nervousness. I began drinking when I was like 9, and I began compulsively eating when I was probably about 9 as well. I didn't drink alcoholically until I was 16, but I ate alcoholically when I was, I would be hiding, you know, when I was 9, the food. And so I don't relate necessarily to not drinking to the high, but how quickly, when I picked up, how quickly it is, and it has destroyed my life, because it destroyed my peace, and it's destroyed my relationships, and that I'm angry with people all the time. So now I have a program that I can use and do a 10-step, and I'm just starting to do the 10-step, and I'm able to just go, okay, this is because I'm feeling, you know, it's just like this minor feeling of irritation, but oh my God, the 10-step is like, it's been a lifesaver, but absolute lifesaver, just be able to say, oh, that's a feeling of fear. Oh, no, I'm dishonest. My biggest enlightenment has been dishonesty. Just believing things that are not true. Believing that I can eat that. Believing that it doesn't matter if I don't sit. Believing that, you know, my son's out to get me. Like, I need to appease him to be okay. It's these ridiculous beliefs that he tells me, and I get to look at him and go, that's a lie. The truth is my son loves me. The truth is the police going to kill me. So I'm really grateful to be on this line, and thank you for sharing and being in service, all of you.
Where are you calling from, Annabelle Z? Oops, she's off the line. Up next is Laura M., followed by Joni Y. Good morning, Laura. Star 1 to unmute, Laura.
Can you hear me? This is Laura M. in Northwest Florida.
Yes, I can hear you now, Laura.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. I thought I was unmuted. Yeah, I am outside trying to get away from my little one so I can share. So I apologize for any background noise. Let me know if it's really bad and I will cut my share. But I listen a lot, but I don't always share. I don't share often, but I felt compelled to share today talking about Jim. You know, reading this paragraph makes me think about the extreme change in me when I'm eating and when I'm not eating. And, you know, how he has this great life and things are going well, but then he's violent when he is, you know, drunk. And I'm not necessarily violent, but I'm very, very different when I'm actively eating. And I can see that I've gone around, you know, getting abstinent, going back out in the food, getting abstinent, going back out in the food over and over again. And what happens for me is I can see that, distinction clearly, you know, who I am in the food and who I am not when I put it down. However, my pattern, I suppose, is if I'm willing to surrender when I come back in, I have a pink cloud for a while, you know, I don't know, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and then real life seems to set in. And I'm reminded of an AA speaker who once said, you know, when I put down the alcohol, I have a whole new set of problems. And that's my experience of putting down the food. It isn't that what I've heard in this program is that that's just the first step, is putting down the food. You know, putting down the food is not going to solve all my problems, and it hasn't. Every single time I put down the food, it has not solved my problem. What it has done is cleared my mind a bit to begin to work this program, but I'm at that place now where I've been abstinent this time around 7 weeks or so, and I'm feeling that nervous disposition come back, you know, where life feels overwhelming, where things feel unmanageable, and you know, the difference is right now I'm not picking up, I'm not eating, and I am grateful for that, but I'm also uncomfortable feeling that anxiety, whatever is going on within me, and I'm not quite to the fourth step, so I don't know that I can do an inventory right this minute, but I do know that I can work the tools. I can get on a meeting, which is what I did. I can other people ask them, you know, when they were having this experience, if they did, what did they do, you know, I can use the tools of this program. I can get on my knees. I can do my prayer and meditation, which I'm doing. I can read. I can get in the big book. So there are things I can do, I know, that are not picking up the food. And so I'm grateful for that. And even though I'm feeling very uncomfortable, irritable, discontent, restless, I am continuing to work this program and trusting that my higher power will give me what I need so that I can move forward in working this program and getting well. So I'm grateful to be here. Thanks, everybody, for your service. And I do love to get outreach. Again, my name is Laura M., and I'm calling from Northwest Florida. Thanks.
Thank you. Perfect timing. Thank you, Laura. Up next is, let me see. Yeah, we'll only be able to take one more. We'll be Joni Y. And Joni,
Thank you.
Us know where you're calling from. Yeah, good morning.
Okay, good morning. This is Joni Y., gratefully recovered from Connecticut this morning. Thank you, everyone, for your shares, the first meeting and this meeting. It was funny because I've read this paragraph many times, and it's usually, I can't really relate. I think the word violent kind of what made me think, well, I'm not violent, so this is about somebody else. But in fact, the reading it and listening to all the shares and the two, nervous disposition and violent, have made me just really reflect on the I used food for so long to tamp down the rage that I had from being very little. I grew up in a family that was very looks were very important, and I was out of 18 cousins, I was the only one that was overweight, and I was the youngest of all of the 18, and it was just a constant. It almost felt like just a target practice sometimes when I would walk into a room, and I would cover that up with humor and secretly hiding food and eating food, and the rage came out when I became a mother. And if anyone looked sideways at my kids, it was always I was a mama bear. But this mama bear was seriously pissed off, and some of the emails that I would write and this rage that would bubble up because I was so protective of them. And I really realized that there's still so much in there that I can relate to this paragraph so completely. And I've done a ton of 10 steps this morning working on it. And I just wanted to say I can relate to this, and just so grateful to all of you for helping me showing me the way. So with that, I will pass, and thank you so much for your service, Mo.
Well, thank you. That's Joni Y. from Connecticut. And thank you all for your shares this morning. We're going to stop at this time. Joe, please come back tomorrow and share with us. Sorry we couldn't get to you. Thank you. Let's see. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I'm going to ask Alex K. to read our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Mo. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great. Events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until...